eat.
Oh, so good.
Drink. Talk. Rick Redding and Steve Coombs serve up savory conversations about Louisville's world-famous restaurant food and drink scene. The wine is uncorked, the bourbon neat, the apps are on the table. Here comes the main course.
Welcome back to Eat, Drink, Talk, the Louisville podcast where you learn about what we eat and drink and what you should be eating and drinking. I'm your host.
Boy, am I full, Steve.
Who are you? You didn't introduce yourself, nor did I. I'm Steve Coombs, and that's Rick Redding, and he is, as declared, full. Not full of it, but full.
I've been full all week. It's been one of those weeks, and just having a great time. I don't believe it. You know, I've heard you maybe complain every once in a while about all these events you got to go to, all this eating and drinking you got to do, and I got a big dose of that this week.
That's right, and it's takes time, doesn't it, to go out to these things?
Time. And it takes stomach capacity.
It does, and takes a decision about a backup driver sometimes if you get a little bit too caught with the bourbon or. But it's the pace of openings is crazy, and we've talked about it on the site. We've written about it, and in the last podcast we just talked about, what is it, 10 or 11 that are going to open up this week, and the openings have started.
They've started, and we've been going to them.
And you would think we would eat less afterward, but I don't guess so. I mean, we didn't do too badly. We were down at Copper and King's today having lunch, which we'll talk about in just a sec. But last night we were both at Red Barn Kitchen.
Red Barn Kitchen. The moose from Joe's Older Than
Is
Dirt
it still
is
there?
Removed.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't see it.
Front yard.
Yeah, on my wedding night, apparently a friend of mine stuck a sucker in the nose of the moose at Joe's Older Than Dirt. That's the only mark of shame I know of on my wedding reception. It wasn't at Joe's. But yes, it's now, it was interesting. You and I were talking about it earlier today that you didn't think that it had changed all that much from Joe's.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess when I don't know why I thought this, but I thought the walls would be moved or some sort of major move was going to take place. But the bar was in the same place I'm used to the bar being. You know, I used to go to Joe's every once in a while. I lived right down the street for a brief period of time. And, you know, all the you know, furniture was in similar spots. And they threw a coat of paint on the walls. And looks-wise, It's very similar. They've changed the things on the walls, but the way it's laid out and all that.
Now, that by the way, Red Barn Kitchen is run by the Olay Restaurant Group, which is the Martinez family. That includes guacamole, artesano tapas, muscle burger bar, taco luchador. And that is kind of their MO, is to go in and take a site that has previously been a restaurant or a bar and really not do a lot of redecorating. And
I think
open
I stumbled
up
over the same spot in the bump in the floorboards that I remember doing back at Joe's.
There, near the front door, or where the hostess stand is.
In the middle spot, yeah, where the hostess stand is.
You could almost make a square roll downhill there. It is visually, you can just see it.
Yeah,
just descending. It's the curvature of the earth right there.
But they did make a lot of changes in the kitchen and what they.
Oh my gosh, my son and I were invited back to have a look at the kitchen, and it was amazing. It will be, chefs who are listening, you've got to go see it. It will be the envy of everybody in this city, except maybe the people at Corbett's, where's another unbelievably fantastic kitchen. Every modern gadget that you would, not gadget, tool, device, you know, piece of equipment needed for a barbecue operation that will do that kind of volume. It was just fantastic to see. And my son made this great observation. He cooks at the Hub, and he walked into the kitchen and walked out of the kitchen. He said, "Dad, I've never been into and out of a kitchen where you didn't notice the difference in temperature." That's how balanced the airflow is in that new operation, that it's the same temperature in the dining room as it is in the kitchen. Never in my life have I had that either. So, yeah, very cool. I'm really happy for those guys. But the food, that's what we were going to talk about.
Food was pretty cool. I know you were absolutely in love. I liked a lot what we had. We had I had a shrimp and grits entree, and Paula had some fried chicken. Excellently prepared, and you know, it's just there's some unusual items and flavors on the menu, like the I know you tried the pimento cheese
grits with horseradish.
Yeah,
but not for you. You're a no, right?
I won't order it again, but it was an interesting taste, I guess I would say.
I had the Paula didn't like the greens as well as I did. I loved them. Okay. I they're fantastic. They have these thing called hand pies, which are basically a pie dough stuffed with macaroni and cheese and burnt ends, which are the little pieces you cut off brisket. Fantastic. I mean, one of the best appetizers I've had in a long time. The barbecue was great for you barbecue wonks out there. It had really good brisket, really good ribs. And
the flavor of the barbecue on the chicken wings was outstanding. I will say that. That was probably the best thing.
And they're smoked.
Yeah.
They're smoked wings, not fried wings. Oh, gosh. It was great. So excited for the Martinez family. That restaurant opens to the public on July 18, which I believe is a Monday. Is that correct?
I think so.
So dinner only, 5:30 to 10:30, Monday through Sunday.
So got a great. Nice bar there. I had to try a drink with moonshine in it.
And that was the good old boy, right?
The good old boy.
That is part bourbon, part moonshine, part peach liqueur. Maybe a little iced tea in there.
Stuff. It was orange. There was an orange taste to it. I think it was orange-flavored moonshine. And the Old Forester was in there. And it was quite a tasty cocktail.
It was good. I liked it. I had the very same thing. We were on opposite sides of the restaurant. I guess they wouldn't let us sit together, which is probably a good idea. Another restaurant that we both went to, Set, which is capital S, capital E, capital T, based on the theater setting downtown. I mean, this is located directly across the street from the Palace.
Excellent place. Joey Wagner, who is the king of local partying, he knows every at Derby time. He's the one that's bringing in all the celebrities and interesting to see a PR and marketing guy moving into the restaurant business. But he really seems to like it. He was there the whole time I was there. We had a little bit of a wait on our food, which was opening. Soft opening.
Yeah, it's practice.
Okay, not criticizing. But, he was there the whole time making greeting guests. And that, I think, is going to be a great, especially late night place after shows at the Mercury Ballroom or the Palace.
I had, Chef Jeffrey Heidi taught me into having the fried chicken. It was fantastic. You would think, I'm not going to go get fried chicken. It was great.
Yeah.
And we had a burrata salad, which is a kind of a creamy, milky mozzarella style cheese, and what about my sister? She went boring. She had stuffed shells with a really good Italian sausage. I think that's all we could eat.
Yeah. Well, there were great appetizers. They have a version of green chili wontons. It's a little different than the Bristol's.
It's got a sweet chili sauce garnish, right? I think a little red sauce of sorts.
Yeah, the pastry on it was a little thicker than what I'm used to at the. At the Bristol, but the best thing, and really the best of all these great dishes I had this week was the fish tacos there.
So you got those tilapia tacos. They were good, huh?
Tilapia grilled, awesome. Blackened, just an awesome meal, and I loved it. It was the best I had all week.
And so you also went to Slice. I did not get to go. This is Slice. Is it Righteous Slice? Righteous Sandwiches. That's
something
right.
It's a place in old Louisville, Second and Magnolia. And I actually saw that you had mentioned something about it online. And I was doing something with my son down in that neighborhood. I said it's grand opening. I'll go to Slice for lunch. I'll take Luke down there and it's not your. Like it's opposite Red Barn. It's not it's like it's an old hardware store. And I think it was something else, before then, right?
It was a cafe of sorts. It didn't work out. I can't recall the name right off the top of my
head. It was like, furniture that you had in your old dorm room and stuff. It wasn't fancy, okay? But I loved the menu names. That was the highlight
hilarious.
Of the whole thing.
We
love puns, don't we?
Is it slicelou.com, I think is what it is? Just look it up, folks, just to go read the menu because it's hysterical. And my favorite name was Salad Jesse Raphael.
Salad Jesse.
And then pour some Caesar on me. I did not like Def Leppard or that song, but that is a hilarious pun. And what was your favorite?
Well, I didn't order it, but I wanted to get When Harry Met Salad.
I have seen that one before.
An oldie but goodie, but I had the Hawaii 5-0, and that was a great ham and pineapple sandwich.
And your son got the Abe Froman sausage. Abe Froman. That's awesome. Sausage King of Chicago. Yeah.
So great play. I hope that does well. My son commented. He says, "You know, Dad, you know, I never go to places like this with anybody else."
So that wasn't a comment, I don't gather, or a compliment rather.
Yeah, he ended up liking it, and you know, he loves those adventures. So,
well, I got to go to the paired Sierra Nevada beer dinner at Harvest on Monday night.
I was jealous.
Oh my gosh, it was fantastic. Chef Patrick Roney is really, really. I don't know if I should say coming to his own there, because he's been a great chef at other places in Louisville, but his style is really on display there, and his control over the food, the textures, the portions is so obvious, and it's just, you don't notice it until you're there and you see it. But his pairings with those beers, one of which was a Goza style beer. You ever heard of that?
No.
It's got like a salty note to it, typically a citrusy finish, so it's not exactly my favorite beer. And he paired it with some Kentucky Lake carp that was citrus cured, as he called it, basically wow. Ceviche style. It was a fantastic pairing. And to take things that maybe people don't ordinarily put together, and it just really wows you. He's amazing.
That sounds great. And one thing you haven't mentioned, I'm just going to interject here. you wrote a great piece on eatdrinktalk.net about that, and we haven't mentioned that we have this great website where we talk about all the stuff. We write about all the stuff we talk
right.
about. And it's at eatdrinktalk.net. If you found this podcast by some other method, go check out our website. There's news on there every day.
Absolutely. We still have to put some up today, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we were out late eating all night. My gosh. Oh, and Asia Teak, I was there Saturday. And Chef Ping Louie, the co-owner, just no menus. He said, "I'll just send out food." And we had a ball. And yet another fantastic Louisville chef that we have in our midst that has such great control over his flavors. And it just blows me away, has for a couple of years, that there's not a line out the door of that restaurant, because I love it. The service is great. The prices are great. The food's fantastic. Has the cheapest bourbon list I've seen in town, period.
Well, I'll match that with a place with a great chef and a really big crowd, because I got my first chance to go to Noosh Nosh on Tuesday night. And we sat at the bar there, and you know, the place was packed, but Anoush Ariad himself was standing there right behind the bar putting pizzas in the oven.
Did you sit in front of the oven, that part of the bar?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And it was just awesome. We had a pizza, and we had this seafood thing.
Well, that narrows it down to a million species.
Yeah, Paul isn't really going to get mad at me. It's an appetizer, and it was, you know, the crunchy little things.
Not.
We'll think of it soon enough.
Maybe you will, but I wasn't there, so I'm not going to. But, yeah, it was good, though, right?
Yeah. Anybody that hadn't, you know, I'd not gone there, but I knew I wanted to, and it's just like we all have those lists in our head, right, Steve? Well, here's next time I'm going out to eat, I'm going to go here.
Right.
And then sometimes you end up like
there.
Yeah, you end up on Hurstbourne Parkway eating at a chain, and then you know, and like, I say, God, what happened? Why am I here?
What happened?
I hate this.
We got a little treat today. Next week's interview is going to be with Joe Heron from Copper and Kings, and he invited Rick and me down for lunch. They are rolling out meat-filled pastry pies. They're called pasties in some countries, and they just call them handheld pies. And they wanted to start some experimenting with them on campus there at Copper and Kings, the distillery in Butchertown. That was good stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you know, Joe down there, he really knows who to call to experiment on, I guess, because we were glad to go there. There weren't that many people.
Those dimwits have nothing better to do. Bring them down.
They'll eat it.
It's all right.
No matter what it is, they'll eat it.
It's not even safe. Let them eat it. Oh, it was fantastic. It was kind of like eating a pot pie in your hand. I mean, I think, but a far better pastry.
Yeah,
and the crust was amazing.
Very flaky pastry, and that was good. And oh, they got and you should mention the great ice cream that
Louisville cream
brandy.
There's a brandy old fashioned ice cream.
Brandy old fashioned ice cream.
Unreal, people.
We are getting fat.
I know. That's our next website and podcast is sweat work. I don't know, lose weight, something. We gotta make a counter podcast. But that will start during Copper and Kings tours. You'll be able to get those pies, And I don't know what frequency, you know, if it's going to be available for a couple of hours a day. I don't know. But it was a fantastic treat. Just another good reason to go down there.
And my, you know, they even serve chips from my friend John Good, who was on the Spuds Chips. I'm sure you're familiar with him. He was on the Rusted Satellite Show a while back, and he's quite a character. And I'm glad to see Spuds anywhere I can.
You interview all kinds of cool people over there. I've got a lot of catching up to do on your side.
Well, 3 years versus less than
3 months. So you know, go figure. Do the math. Hey, so you and Paula had a good time at the Apron Taste of Independence event, am I right?
Oh, yeah, was that awesome? It was hard to figure out which thing was best, really.
So there were 30 chefs representing 30 restaurants, and you got to go around to their little stations and have a taste of, you know, lots of delectables. There were some bourbon booths in between. There were some coffee booths. It was a good way to avoid cooking on a Sunday for sure, but it was a fantastic fundraiser.
Yeah, I think they made a lot of money because they said the crowd, the size
record
of this event was double what it had been in the past. Mm-hmm. The crowd was like double, the food was. I mean, all the restaurants that we talk about on the show, it seems like all of them were represented there. I kind of was partial to that, you know, and I saved it till the end. The bourbon slushy from Ballatin was
still your thing, huh? Stuff. I know, and I never made it around to talk to Paul and Lisa. I hate that. They're the owners, by the way. Yeah, my favorite was that it was like a little lemon cupcake that Robbie Santos, who is the baker for Ward 426, Equus, and Corbett's, made. That was my favorite.
I think
it didn't
I
win.
Had one of those.
Bobby Benjamin's Pork Belly served in that little plastic sphere.
Oh yeah,
wasn't that crazy?
I didn't get one.
That was amazing. That was really good. But for some reason, the little cupcake just took me aback, and I thought that was great.
Yeah, we're really frou-frouing it up around here.
Yeah, and just the last thing I want to say about that, it is amazing that these people work the hours that they work and then will go volunteer on their day off to stand for hours on end to clean up after themselves, to raise money for their own. And Apron, if any of the listeners don't know what that is a fundraising body that helps people within the restaurant industry get through financial crises, be they health related, basically something that they could not have caused on their own. So it's a great organization, and it's at apron.org if you want to check it out.
Yeah, and you can hear from Gary Fox on last week's show that you can go back and listen.
Absolutely.
To Steve had an interview with him. Yeah,
great,
you know,
dude.
Those guys, they do have fun, though. You know, I went to one spot, I think it was the Gary's on Spring guy, and he had his kids there serving up his stuff. So they made a family event out of it as well.
Well, this is one of our favorite parts of the show, in which we get to talk about the best things we ate or drank over the past week. And as far as the drinking thing, before we skip into that, I do want to give a little plug to my buddy, Fred Minnick, who just released his third book on the bourbon business called Bourbon, The Rise and Fall and Rebirth of American Whiskey. And I didn't even tell you about this.
You got a big thing going in your life, Steve.
That's right.
Congratulations
to
you.
This is another freelance thing that I have going on. I've been named the bourbon editor for the Whiskey Wash, which is whiskeywash.com. It's a Portland, Oregon website that talks all about American whiskey, but wanted to really focus its presence in Kentucky. So I've got 6 writers that I will help guide and really knuckle down. Nobody's done it. Nobody has focused on this region of the country and what's going on. They do it in bits and pieces, but this will be the first all-out effort launched to do that, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that'll be great. And is that just online, or is there a
publication? It is just online, but the real part of that, Rick, will be when the whiskey samples start flowing.
There
this
we
way.
Go.
So we'll enjoy some
out
of
your house.
We will be doing on-air tastings and talking them up. So speaking of drinks, Rick, what was your favorite this week?
Well, I had a whole bunch to choose from, but I think I'm going to go off the board. I'm going to go off the board with you and tell you something I haven't told you about, is that when I went to interview the Whiskey Chick and the Bourbon Brother up on the
street corner is what it sounds like. Yeah. I'm going to see the Whiskey Chick and a Bourbon Brother.
But I said, okay, we're going to do this interview. They got this nice conference room and everything. The business is called Execuity, and it's really right on top of Impella's Aries down there.
And on Main or
yeah,
Bardstown?
On Main.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And it's a beautiful space. They like rent it for Airbnb. It's really a cool space. But Linda said, you know, you you want something to drink while we're doing this? I said, sure. She poured, and I'm not the connoisseur you are, but Elijah Craig second, what, an Elijah Craig bourbon.
Right.
That we just had on the rocks. Uh-huh. And while we're doing the interview, you might hear some glasses clinking.
That's good natural sound.
While we're doing
I like
it.
That.
But
I'm envious.
Yeah, with all the other stuff we did at all the other places, I think that was my favorite.
Awesome. And I, even though it's not a specific drink, Lemieux, I went to their happy hour on Friday and met my old buddy Sarah Havens from Insider Louisville at the bar. And just the prices are amazing. During they call it the Hours of Happiness or Happiness Hours. I can't remember. But it's a fantastic bargain in a really swanky place. And so yep. I liked it. So
I got to get over there.
Levi Beckley made me a fantastic, perfect martini, and it was nice. I like gin, too.
That goes on my list of places I need to get to.
And so, favorite eats. Hard choice, I'm certain, right?
It was really tough, but I'm going to go back to the fish tacos at Set. I really was impressed with – I've had – fish tacos before, and it's always been like been with fried fish and bits of fried fish and stuff, but this the way that tilapia was in the taco was really great.
Yeah, Jeffrey Hottie's fantastic chef, and so I'm going to give a nod to his fried chicken was great, but possibly my favorite is the hand pies at Red Barn Kitchen. I loved them. I'm telling you, that's Fat Albert food, or as Dustin Staggers, the chef here, says, fat kid food, because it will put the pounds on you. I mean, you have pastry, you have macaroni and cheese, and beef bits stuffed inside. I mean, you know the result without even eating them.
Yeah, I mean, people like that stuff. I mean, what was Joe's daughter over there was saying that Wendy's has the
Baconator.
The Baconator with cheese and fries and bacon and all this stuff that just...
That somebody at the table said is a well-rounded sandwich, and then we added that makes you well-rounded, I'm certain. So your guest, let's talk about your guest. Speaking of the Whiskey Chicks and the Bourbon Brotherhood.
Yeah, well, these are really cool organizations. Both exist to sort of promote charities and hold events. And Whiskey Chicks started out, really, Linda was telling me, as just a way for women who are interested in bourbon but didn't know anything about it to get together and sample it together. And now they have like some 900 members. If you can believe
You're kidding me.
It's a big deal.
And they don't have to have a bunch of dudes hanging around them.
They don't. Although,
drink their spirits in peace.
Say that dudes are invited. And then once a year they have a co-sponsored event with another group that has like 600 members called the Bourbon Brotherhood. And you'll hear from Bruce Corwin, who is the head of the Bourbon Brotherhood. They promote events every month around town where dudes can get together and at cool, unique places. And
without the women.
Without the women. So they all come together. This bourbon mixer is a big, big fundraiser. It's going to be at the Gillespie this year on August 13th. And we talk about that and a little bit about men, women, and bourbon and stuff like that.
Very cool. Well, my guest this week is Dean Corbett, who just streamlined the menu at his fine dining restaurant, Corbett's, an American Place. And Dean talks in I don't want to say in grave tones, but in certainly serious tones about the death of the fine dining meal in this town. And he will say flat out, the three-hour meal is over. These long multi-course affairs are over. And he really believes that his customer base, even the people who've patronized it and can spend the money to go there, want a lighter, simpler meal that doesn't require the time commitment to sit down so long. And he describes that, and he talks also about the difficult labor situation in this town with all these restaurants opening up. There's just fewer cooks to go around, fewer servers, and half of them not trained very well. So, yeah.
Well, it's a tough issue throughout the industry, and that's the sort of thing we're going to focus here on the show. And it's really cool you get kingpin in the industry like Dean, who is great to talk about that.
And I couldn't get him to do any impersonations on air, which you know usually have to restrain him from it, but I guess in a moment of gravity
you must have made him nervous.
No, that's not possible. No, when he was my boss 30 years ago, he used to make me nervous, trust me. At any rate, so we're going to end this show and let you listen to our fantastic guests, and we'll see you next time around on Eat, Drink, Talk.
Head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Rom.
Today I'm with Matt Jones,
Kevin Harned,
Pat Forty.
But I'm with Anoush Shariot,
Kristen Wall,
United States Congressman John Yarmuth,
Sarah Brofancher, and Susie Eastman.
I have Kristen Boone,
one of St. Matthew's most favorite sons, Danny Flanagan.
It's Pat Day.
The list goes on and on. The most interesting people in the Ville are on the Rusty Satellite Show with Rick Redding. New episodes Thursdays on Louisville.am.
Well, the Eat, Drink, Talk podcast brings me to all kinds of fun stuff to do. And right now, one of those things is having a little Elijah Craig small batch, as Linda tells me, with Linda Rufinack and Bruce Corwin, who are heading up the Bourbon Mixer coming up on August 13th. And Linda, you're the head chick of the Whiskey Chicks, so tell me about this event while we're here.
Well, we're extremely excited. This is our third year for doing the Bourbon Mixer. We started it a couple years ago, and all the proceeds that year went to benefit the Coalition for the Homeless, and we raised $10,000. Last year, we hosted the similar event, and it actually grew from one sponsoring distillery to where we had 12 distilleries join us, and we raised about $20,000, and that year was for the Best Buddies of Kentucky. Bruce, who is the founder of the Bourbon Brotherhood, he and I agreed that we would alternate years, and so the Coalition for the Homeless is the beneficiary again this year.
Cool.
We're excited that we've now gotten 14 distilleries signed up, and we estimate that we're going to have 20-plus brands of bourbon, if not more than that, that'll be ready for sampling at the evening.
Sure. Cheers to that. I mean, interesting having an event with distilleries when there's all these new distilleries coming on board, right? And so that must make this a little bit easier to...
It's actually been a lot of fun. We've got a lot of the, you know, the well-established companies involved, where we've got three brands from Brown-Forman that are going to be representative with Woodford Reserve, Old Forester, and Cooper's Craft, which we're incredibly excited that we're going to be tasting the new Cooper's Craft.
That's the new stuff I'm familiar with.
We also have Angel's Envy joining us this year, Buffalo Trace, Maker's Mark, Evan Williams, and Heaven Hill. Jefferson's will be in the house, and Four Roses and Bullet. And we're excited to have one of the newer distilleries that's still in the works, but they actually have product in the market, which is Rabbit Hole Distillery, and will be represented that evening as well.
Very, very interesting. Well, let me turn to Bruce over here, my brother in the Bourbon Brotherhood.
Thank you, Rick.
When are you going to get me to an event?
We meet the fourth Wednesday of each month after work from 5:30 to 7:30. So you're welcome to join us anytime, Rick.
I know. I need to. I really need to. But, you know, we talked last year before this Bourbon Mixer event, and there's a lot that's changed since then.
One of the things that's changed is the event keeps growing each year. And the first year that we did it at the Evan Williams Bourbon Experience, which is a fantastic venue, but we just outgrew that space very quickly. So last year we did it at a new venue, which was just newly opened, called Pasolino's. And we've since outgrown that space as well. So this year we're going to be at the Gillespie, right on Market Street. Beautiful venue. They've just redone the floors on it. It's got beautiful marble floors. It's a really beautiful 100 or so year old building. And we're going
to I've been to the Gillespie. It's a great place. Now you say outgrowing. How many people are we talking about coming to this thing?
First year we had about 100. Last year was about 150. This year we're looking at more like 250, maybe as much as 300. We've already sold more tickets this year than we did all of last year, and we still got a month to go. So it's possible the event will be sold out.
Wow. And sell out is what number? What number would you stop at?
About 300.
About 300. Okay. Well, let's move on from the event and talk a little bit, because this podcast is about eating and drinking and talking, and we're at least drinking and talking today. Linda, Whiskey Chicks sounds, it's like the coolest name. I want to hang out with Whiskey Chicks. What's the organization all about?
Well, first of all, Whiskey Dudes are always welcome to join us. You're always welcome to come out and join us for an evening. You know, Whiskey Chicks, we started, a little over 2.5 years ago. Started just one night, planned an event down at Down One Bourbon Bar. Had 35 women show up when it was 6 degrees outside. So we figured there was something to it at that point. We've since grown to, right now, over to 775 registered members.
Wow.
Membership is free. And all of our events, we have a wide variety of events, everything from $15 events up to $125 events, where the higher dollar ones are either a fundraising piece or maybe it's a trip to a distillery. So far we've been doing them all within Louisville, but we're excited that we're actually expanding outside of Louisville. We have our first event this week in Michigan. We're going to be doing it up in Charlevoix, Michigan, which I didn't realize how many people from Louisville actually have connections to Michigan and actually have summer homes there. So we're actually going to be hosting an event up there. And we're actually working with a couple different places in the Northeast to potentially do some Whiskey Chick events there.
Bourbon road trips.
Bourbon road trips. We're all about it and spreading the word across the nation around how great bourbon is and how great it is for women to try it for the first time.
Yeah, and do women, I mean, in your experience, you must have a lot of women who are being introduced to bourbon through this organization. How do you teach a woman to drink bourbon?
Well, it's no different than teaching a man to drink bourbon, first of all. As I tell anybody, if you're going to start with just a straight sip of whiskey, that may be your last sip of whiskey if you've never really drank much before.
Yeah.
So a lot of times we're working and starting them off with cocktails. We'll start with an Old Fashioned or a Manhattan. And as I like to tell people, there's no right or wrong way to drink bourbon. If you want to drink Pappy's and Dr. Pepper, drink Pappy's and Dr. Pepper if that's what you like. But it's all about figuring out how do you get your palate used to the flavors. Then you can start working your way in and start pulling back on the water, the ice, the sweeteners, that type of thing, to where you can really start to get to the essence of the bourbon and the different flavors in each one. But don't try to start at the very, you know, don't start with the 120 proof straight, you know, small batch, single barrel. It might be a little
like the stuff we're having, this Elijah Craig. Right?
Now, the Elijah Craig actually is on my novice list of one of those ones that's actually not a bad one to start with for even that beginning bourbon drinker, because it does have such a smooth finish and a nice flavor to it. And with a little bit of ice, it mellows out and
there
goes well with a lot of things.
It's very nice. All right. So, Bruce, Bourbon Brotherhood, are Whiskey Chicks invited to Bourbon Brotherhood events?
Yeah, we don't get a lot of women at our events, but we probably a few, I'd say, at each
Linda's
event.
Over here shaking her head.
Well,
like,
she crashed one of our events once. It was her birthday, though.
I think I was told to leave. I don't know.
But, no, we typically get a few women at our events, but it's one of the few events that's sort of a men's event in the city. There are quite a few different women's business groups or networking groups, so... typically, it's mostly men that attend our events.
Okay, also get you come, but I know I get the emails, and you go to some really like cool locations. I guess if you're looking for an excuse to go to a certain place, Bourbon Brotherhood event would be the thing.
Right? Yeah, that's one of the cool things is not only do we get to try some really excellent bourbons and have some really great experiences there, but we also get to go to some pretty unique venues. This month we're going to be at Brown-Forman headquarters. First, we're going to go in the morning to the Cooperage. To see how they make the barrels, and then we're going to go to Brown-Forman headquarters to do a tasting of Cooper's Craft, which, as we talked about, was just released this month. That event sold out in less than 24 hours, so some of our events sell out pretty quickly.
And we did get invited to that one.
Yes.
By the way. So it's an event that we sold to Whiskey Chicks for that one.
There will be some chicks at that event, no doubt. The event that we did in May, for example, was at the Vintage Warbirds hangar at Bowman Field, so that was a pretty cool venue. They took up some of the Vintage Warbird planes and did a flyby for us, and we had a really good time there. And we did an event in April that was really cool. We went to the Distilled Spirits Epicenter, which is a really unique facility here in Louisville, and we did a tasting of some individual grains, just the distilled unaged spirits of wheat and rye and malted barley and corn, just to see what those tasted like. We've definitely been to some very cool venues.
Well, that sounds like it. And so we got this gathering of the Bourbon Brothers and the Whiskey Chicks. I'm curious, is there interaction, intermingling, even romance involved anywhere?
I'm not aware of any romances that come out of this, but you know what? That's not what we're all there for. The one thing is that it is a great mix of people. There are couples there. There are singles. There are groups of ladies. There are groups of guys that show up. And it's not your typical fundraising event. We go out of our way to make sure it doesn't feel like a fundraiser and it feels like just one really big fun party. We have a really good time, and the distilleries have been phenomenal. They each one come up with their own cocktails for the evening that they'll be highlighting that highlights their spirits best.
Okay.
Last year, for example, Maker's Mark brought popsicles, and Buffalo Trace had brought root beer floats for everybody to try. So we're anxious to hear and see what the distilleries have in store. But once again, it goes back to you don't have to start with just straight bourbon to enjoy it. And so we've asked them to create something that can appeal to all different tastes. And even if there's that non-bourbon drinker in your group and you want to go, We have beer and wine that will be available at the bar as well.
That's usually the question with my personal situation. Will they have wine?
Yes. We will have beer and wine available, but mostly bourbon.
And there's also going to be quite a bit of great food available, too. We're going to have it, the whole event catered, and that's going to be really fantastic. Jarpy's, I guess, is going to be catering the event. And so they're going to bring some great food. But we also have Art Eatables, who has chocolates, bourbon ball chocolates.
Oh, I've had that.
They're going to
yes,
have
a
spot there where they're handing out samples. Cellar Door Chocolates.
Mm-hmm.
They make some fantastic stuff. I've done a Nulu. They're going to be there. Mertz's Cakes. And then this is an ice cream company, too, Linda, right?
Yeah, actually, there's a company out of South Carolina called JB's Proof. It actually started here in Kentucky, but it is a alcohol-based ice cream that will be coming here and providing samples for the event as well.
Wow.
I've been fortunate enough to taste it, and it's fantastic. So
let's go to the fridge and see if we can find some right now.
So it's good stuff.
One of the things that people have asked me is, what does a ticket include? And the answer is, it really includes everything. It includes all the food, the bar, all the access to all the distilleries.
Once you buy a ticket, you can leave your wallet in the car, right?
Yeah, the only thing you might want to bring your wallet for is, we're going to have some really fantastic silent auction items. So that's the only thing you can really spend money on at the event. And there's going to be some really great experiences, bourbon experiences, unique bottles of whiskey. I mentioned those Warbird planes that they've offered to take someone up for a ride in one of those propeller-driven two-seat planes over Louisville. You can choose an exciting ride or a calm ride. I think we're going to have a hot air balloon ride with maybe a bottle of bourbon. Some bourbon goes with some of these things because you'll need a little liquid courage, as they say.
Yeah. And that's, let's just turn and talk for a minute, Linda, about the bourbon boom, the bourbon tourism thing. I mean, it's like you can put bourbon in front of the word Twinkies and maybe sell them. You know, and all the distilleries right along here. You mentioned Angel's Envy. I know they're making good progress on their facility down the street. What do you attribute all this popularity to?
Wow, that's a big question. I think because bourbon is just so absolute, has got such a wonderful flavor and very unique. And I think it's the cultural piece and the whole collaboration that takes place with all of the different distilleries. And everybody, it starts with some of the same ingredients, but it's amazing how different those same ingredients can produce such different results when you mix them just a little bit differently, you age them a little differently, you store them a little bit differently, and the flavors are just all over the place. And, I compare it to drinking red wine. You never know what you're going to get when you open that bottle of red wine. But if you really take the time to explore and adventure out, you'll be surprised at what you'll find.
Yeah. Wow. And it's such a unique product in that it's, like many other liquors, are flavored with artificial flavors or colors or things added. And this is just the grains, water, and aged in the barrel. And it's something that's very traditional and unique to the United States, because it's only made in the United States. And Kentucky, of course, is the capital of the bourbon world, and we're so lucky to be right here, to have access to all these distilleries, and to have all of this in one night in one place, to just be able to experience that is really a fantastic opportunity.
Sounds great. I have to go this year. We got to wrap it up, Linda. Tell me how I can get tickets.
You can actually go out to our website, which is very simple, bourbonmixer.com, and buy tickets there. The tickets are $125 each, and as Bruce mentioned, that includes everything. We have parking included as well. We also will have the ability for people to get cabs and to have special coupons for some of the local, whether it's Taxi 7 or Lyft or Uber that evening, for people in case they've had just a little too much to drink.
Yeah.
We want everybody to drive safe and be safe that evening.
Very good. Well, that's a good message. Well, we'll wrap it up. And Bruce, again, looking forward to the event. I hope I can hang out with some of your bourbon brothers soon.
It's going to be a great time.
Excuse me, garçon. I'll have another.
Welcome back to Eat, Drink, Talk. My guest this week is Dean Corbett, veteran chef, longtime friend. Well, since we didn't work together, right? We became friends then. Radio show co-host when we were on Chef Boyardee together. It's my pleasure to welcome you.
Legendary show.
Legendary show with nine to ten viewers or listeners.
Yeah.
Man, I'm mixing media today.
Our devoted crowd of ten.
Well, at least we were in the big house. We
That's
were
right. We
over
were.
A clear
we had,
channel.
We had headsets, and we were, and we had that wonderful. What was that kid's name with the voice?
Oh, yeah. Dean Corbin.
Yeah, the one is, yeah.
Jordan,
exactly.
Jordan was awesome.
Perfect voice.
Yeah,
Jordan.
Excellent. Had big voice, big skin, a tall, skinny kid.
Yeah.
This My is producer. Your 36th year in business, right?
Before
in the business.
In the business, 30. No, in the business, actually.
I thought you were 1986,
but.
As an owner, 31 years.
31, right.
So the industry has changed quite a bit over that time, don't
you
think?
Yeah, you think? Yeah, just a bit. But the passing of Nancy Shepherd was kind of a, I don't know, it kind of marked the end of an era, I think.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Did you go to the visitation?
I did not. I could not. No.
Yeah?
I should have, because I'm there four days a week. I've got relatives in the Nazareth home, but I just got held up and couldn't make it. But she was kind of a dinosaur, like myself, in the business, and she looked at it totally differently than a lot of the new people do. You know, she was old school.
Don't you think that when we discuss places like Casa Grisani, Jack Fry's, Lily's, that Cafe Metro belongs in that conversation?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, many people thought Cafe Metro, that was their favorite place. When we opened up, when you asked people, when Equus was coming around and, you know, we get into that fine dining mix, still, many of our regulars, their go-to place was Cafe Metro for special occasions. And a lot of it had to do with her on the door. You know, she was extremely gracious and irreverent at the same time with no filter. And, you know, food was great. You know, a lot of chefs came through there, small enough and intimate enough to have, you know, have a great meal. And
how important is that personality in a restaurant?
I think it's all of it. I think it's huge. I mean, I think the food is huge. But if you look at the most successful places in town, there is somebody, you know, there is a Kathy Carey, there is a Tim Corey, you know.
A Vincenzo Gabrielli.
There is a Vincenzo. I mean, you know, that's where the loyalty comes in. Because I know when I step out of one of my places, I usually catch hell via email, phone call, or something that, you know, we came in, where were you? Or, you know, we come up here every day because we like to, you know, talk and visit, or we do, you know, it is huge. It is huge.
Does that ever make you regret having two places?
It makes me regret it every day. In fact, I was just at my accountant's, and I told him, I said, if somebody had given me the option again to do Corbett's, as much fun as it's been, and as great as it's been, there is no way in hell I would risk what I risked to do that 8 years ago, financially and everything else. It was just too big a gamble. In this day and age, there is no way I would do that with the increased competition.
What if it were 20 years ago, when fine dining was still strong?
20 years ago, I would do it. But, you know, if I had to do it today, given everything that's happening in this influx of places that are opening left and right, and some won't make it, but many of these people coming in know what the hell they're doing. They're coming from other cities. They're bringing huge dollars and backers and deep pockets, and they're in for the long haul, and you know, it's just a different ballgame. I bought that place literally for the real estate. It was always long-term. That was always the goal, and it's gone up, you know, 30%.
Just the value of the volume?
Yes, since 08. Yeah.
Property?
I mean, it's somewhere, you know, north of $6.5 million now, and it was $4.5 million in 08. So, you know, for long-term, the long-term solution, if we ever do sell it and get out and go about our merry way, you know, everybody's going to do well. So that was the whole thing.
The dirt's worth more than the house?
For me, it's always been, I would never open a place where I couldn't eventually buy the real estate, you know, and that's what we're in the process of trying to do a ward right now. So hopefully we'll do that, and that'll be settled, and, you know.
Well, let's stick to kind of the concept part of that. You've also told me in the past that if you had your druthers, you would open, if you were to open another place, it would have been a Jack's.
Yeah, I'd open a place with probably 60 seats or under, and I would open a place that didn't have anything over $15 to $18 on the menu.
And that's hindsight, right?
Yeah, that's just 2020, yeah. And I think now that's exactly what is hitting. I think people's pockets are lighter in general. The selection is huge. The diversity of ethnicities and the new places opening up are huge. There's so many places for people to try, and what they want to do is they want to hit a multitude of places in a multitude of areas in town. They want to get out in pretty quick order. They want to spend less. They still want service and food to be good, but the days of these three-hour meals are coming to a screeching halt unless it's a programmed, you know, pharmaceutical party or something along those lines.
Right.
You know,
and you talked about the choice with all the different restaurants, and it seems to me that the old school guys, which I put you in with them now, Vincenzo and those guys, I mean, you guys had multi-million dollar restaurants that because you had multi-million dollar attraction. The business was there. It seems a lot of these newer operations can get by and actually make a couple of nickels on a million.
even less. I mean, what kills me is when somebody opens up and they have a month worth of capital in the bank, you know, backup, and then they quickly realize they're going to be in trouble because, you know, all it's going to take is a few people not paying, and you know, the AR gets deep, and then they start to get backed up on bills. They have 2 weeks right. that are bad in business, 2 or 3 weeks that are a little slow, and all, you know, all of a sudden they're in deep. You have got to have 6 months to a year in the bank. And that's every expense. That's rent. That's 6 months worth of full payroll. That's 6 months worth of insurance. 6 months worth of everything. You know.
Right. Right.
I just think it's crazy to open. I do see people. Who's the guy who opened the place with the 10 tables and the whole Justin?
Dustin Staggers.
I mean, how many places did he have and has closed? I mean, this
he's
is
down
a
to one.
Example.
I think he's closed 4. Totally.
But I mean, that's just nuts to me. I mean, now maybe he's made money on all these. I don't know, but mentally, I couldn't do that. I would stroke out. I mean, I stroke out just on the 3 I got. You know, I mean, how on earth can you open and close these emotionally and put your? Because for me, it's you're putting your heart and soul in these places. You're investing in your staff
right.
emotionally, and
right.
you're training them, and you're loving them, and you want to, you know, make and your customer base, and you're doing everything short of. You know, walking the customer's dog to get them in here. You know, I mean, seriously, you know, I'll do anything, you know.
Even feed that customer's dog.
I would do anything for my customers. I mean, and we're known for that. And we're known for our excellent service at the restaurants. And I'm really proud of that because I think a lot of restaurants are slipping on the service scale. You know,
absolutely. Don't you think that's a flip between where it was back in the 80s?
Yeah.
And that service was just outstanding.
It was.
And food was only
coming. And people were available to train that were excellent and who cared about the industry. And it was their profession and their career. And now it's hit or miss. Now we're blessed in that we've kept 98% of the people that we have.
I couldn't believe it when I was there Saturday night and saw how many people have been there since day
one.
Still,
yeah, there's 70%.
This is the Corbett's,
yeah, 70% probably, which is unheard of. Even during the slow period, I mean, it's... And we try and do things to entice them to stay. And, you know, we talk about it, though. We're transparent. I mean, I get them together and say, look, this month sucks. It always sucks. And it's not any different than the last 8 years. And if anybody needs help financially or whatever, if I can help you, I will. Hang in there best you can. We're going to divide the shifts the best we can. You know, and this really goes out to the people in the front of the house more than the back because,
right.
you know, the back are certainly taken care of on an hourly, but the front of the house suffers, you know, during the summer.
And these are people who, commonly like Cesar Perez, work 2 jobs.
A professional. Yeah, and I mean, he designs yeah. however many websites in town. He's a webmaster. And you talk about a guy devoted. Unbelievable. I mean, the things that
he
does
the Barkstown Road Farmer's Market.
But, I mean, just the stuff he does for us. I mean, he's constantly there planning caterings. He does our website. You know, he's always there to lend a hand in any kind of meeting we have with the management staff. He closes on Sunday night for the managers so they can have a night off. He tends bar 2 nights a week. He, you know... Anytime we're dismantling, assembling, or doing anything, Caesar's the first one there. I mean,
what
he's just
guy.
An amazing guy, you know. And
you know, I got to train him at Ditto's as a
well,
waiter.
Well, he is, you know, I would like 100
like he needed
Caesars.
Training.
I would like 100 Caesars, you know. But it's just he is a freak of nature, you know, when it comes to.
And we talked a whole lot on the Chef Boyardee show about the labor shortage, and it's way worse than when we were last on the air. It is, and I know bodies are hard to find. Is the quality there when you get somebody?
Well, I just hired a guy back. I just got off the phone literally before I walked in here hiring a guy back who was with me for 12 years, a line cook.
No kidding. Who's
left.
That? Anybody I know?
Dub William Hare. He's a great kid.
I've never
he
met
worked
him.
For Mama's Barbecue. He was running the Middletown store, I think.
Yeah.
And a very amicable split because he doesn't have a mean bone in his body, but he's the most one of the most technically proficient line cooks I've ever had. And I called him up, and I my first words out of my mouth were, "You ready to come home to daddy for a while?" And he's like, hell yeah. So, you know, off we go, and it's round two. And I know that I will never have to worry about him in the kitchen. I mean, he cares about the food. He's the nicest guy in the world, and it's like, it's just a blessing from God. I said, their loss is my gain, and rock on, you know, because I can push him in here and make him that third person in Equus and be, and never have to worry about this kitchen, you know.
And is, that's the way it has to happen to get laborers. You got to take it from somebody else. Right?
Yeah, and I have a strict policy against that. I do not
against
take,
poaching.
I do not poach. I have never poached. If somebody comes to me, wonderful. If they're out looking,
you did
I'll
not
be.
Poach
yeah,
that cook.
I have not. Yeah, I have not poached anybody. I will never do it. Just because I don't like when it's done to me.
I thought you were going to pick up and do your Bill Clinton there.
Well, it was recently done to me. 4 different people were taken by one place in town, which will remain nameless. But they. You know, it doesn't feel good, and it's one of those things where you just have to deal with it. And all over 50 cents or a dollar an hour. Now, all 4 of those people have left, you know, and gone on because they realized that, you know, it isn't quite as sunny on the other side. Yeah, because here's the deal. I mean, we run places that are very consistent, very predictable. We're very square. We expect what we expect, and we demand what we demand, but we give a shit about the employees, and we care about them, and we, you know, they know that they've got a home here, and if we do anything short of taking a bullet for them, and, you know, I think there's something to be said for that, because if it becomes a strictly monetary game, I'm liable to lose.
Right.
Based on these larger companies coming in here. You know?
Well, speaking of monetary issues, that's one of the reasons why you've made some changes at Corbett's to adjust to the sales slump, but also to the trend that we've talked about, this kind of casualization.
Right.
Talk about what has been changed on the menu.
Yeah, what occurred to us, and I talked with Jeff about this, is I said, look,
that's Jeff Daly,
chef. My head chef out there, is a brilliant guy. And for me, the great chef is the guy who can not only do the uber fine dining, but can also execute the menu style we do at Jack's or Ward or whatever in between, and still be the most excellent at what we're doing. So as I put it to him, I said, look, all I want to do is relax things, become more accessible, more approachable, where people feel they can come in 2 to 3 times a week even, or 3 to 4 times a month versus once or twice a year for a special occasion. So we took existing menu items and excellent product that we're still using and downsized some of the portions and uncomplicated the terminology and the read so that people didn't need the Food Lover's Companion when they came in. You know, we went back to sauces and savory soups and things that we did not have. We had gotten into emulsions and vinaigrettes and coatings and toppings and rubs and, you know, things where I am a firm believer, and this is where I come in. I'm the square ball in the group. I was raised classic sauces.
Right.
People come. I believe this. I will believe it to my grave that the average person returns to a restaurant for a great sauce or a great soup. I really believe that.
Huh.
I will go to my grave believing that. You know, combined with the other factors, great service, but flavor profiles are number one.
Right.
How you put food together that is seasonally correct, and that they leave going, damn it, that was great.
Right.
You know, and that was something that we had kind of gotten. We'd lost our way just a little bit. And I think that people, you know, simplicity is best. In other words, you know, rather than, they had a mussel dish that was a pale ale poached mussel that I didn't care for out there. And it's strictly a taste thing. I'm sure some people like it. But for me, there was a bitterness in the beer that did not complement the dish. And it left an aftertaste that was bitter to me. And that's not a flavor profile I enjoy as an individual.
Right.
I don't think 90% of the people enjoy bitterness being the finish on anything. So I changed it to a saffron shellfish velouté, and all of a sudden it's flying off the shelf, and everybody's saying it's one of the best mussels they've ever had. So, and these were very simple changes. Same product, different sauce. Much easier to read, much easier to understand, much easier for the server to communicate to the guest. Everybody benefits.
Right.
And you know, we live happily ever after, hopefully.
And now, when we were there Saturday night,
We're still using the same products. We're still bringing in the beautiful seasonal chanterelles we just got in, and we're still we're using them more judiciously so that we can bring those prices down. And I don't want people to leave there feeling like they've had the Jeff Ruby's experience or something where they're $400 later for two and they're going, holy shit, you know, I just could have made my house payment. You know, I want them to leave there and be able to. I want them to be able to get a burger, a calamari, a nacho at the bar, and get out if they want.
What about things like, I mean, Jeff's charcuterie? When we ate there Saturday night, that is bar none the best charcuterie I've ever eaten in my life.
It's great.
So that will stay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I support that 100%. I'm about to buy another hog for him because he needs 6 month lead time.
Right.
He is absolutely brilliant at that. He has studied it. He has refined it. He has got it down to a science. He's got a cooler dedicated to it. He's done the humidity levels, the training, everything. It is absolutely wonderful what he's doing. And I support that 100%. The guests love it. The servers love it. That will remain.
Great.
I didn't touch it. There are certain things you don't mess with. It's a perfect deal.
Yeah. Right, right. What about the customer? How do you expect the customer to change? Or is it a jeans restaurant
No, it's not. But one of the things I did was for 2 weeks I sat down with our best guest and I literally pulled up a chair to the table and I said, do you all mind if I talk with you for a little while? I'd like to just pick your brain a little bit. I said, I trust you. You're friends of ours. You're great customers. I said, give me first thoughts of what you think about when you think of Corbett's. I literally, you know, I was very honest with these people. I said, you know, first thoughts, end thoughts. How can we be better? How can we be more accessible to you? How will you think about us coming more often than less often, you know. And I went through this with multiple people, and right. you know, I picked up things that were not rocket science to me. They were not surprising to me, but I needed to reinforce my decision mentally
right.
to do this. And also to engage them and make them feel part of the solution, I think it's going to do nothing but reiterate the fact that they're going to come back. Because they're going to feel like, hey, we were part of that, you know.
Nice.
We were part of that. We made that happen. We were there when he was making these decisions. And people love this. They love the involvement, and they want to be part of it. So, you know, it was a very good deal. It's worked out well so far.
Well, Jeff about killed us the other night sending out courses. Yeah. So, but it was fantastic. That's a first world problem.
We are going to do that. We're going to advertise more. We're bringing on Jamie again. Asked us. We're going to go back and we're going to get some major PR blitzes
nice.
Going. And we've got to be competitive, my man.
Absolutely.
All part of it, you know.
Dean Corbett, so glad to have you as a guest on E3
Talk. Is the time up?
The time's up.
Oh, dang it.
We can go to lunch.
Yeah.
Great talking to you, buddy.
If you just can't get enough, catch up on the news of the city's restaurant scene every single day by visiting www.eatdrinktalk.net. Steve and Rick share all the latest local scoop from Louisville's restaurants and bars. You can also find old episodes of the show and connect with the guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Eat well, my friends. Another episode next week.